Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
And now, from the Radisson Blue Hotel in Galway, this is Off the Ball Live, featuring Ollie Canning, Cyril Farrell, Ken McGrath, Dahi Regan, Anthony Cunningham, and Pete Finnerty. But first, would you please welcome on stage Adrian Barry, Ger Gilroy, and a man who bleeds black and amber. His blood type is hurling, folks. It's Tommy Welsh.
Come on, Galway.
What the hell is that?
We have our pantomime villain.
Hey, that was pretty quick. I did not expect that. I thought the Galway crowd was supposed to be knowledgeable about hurling. Is this a football crowd or something?
We said to Tommy here, listen, will you come to Galway? It'll be great. They'll love you down there.
So I'm used to it on this stage, Adrian. So.
What was the worst thing you ever did to Galway people that they felt the need to boo you, apart from beating them every time you played them, I mean?
Well, they're not on their own. I get off everyone, so don't be worried about it all.
Well, you're all very welcome tonight. As JP told you in the intro, we've got an absolutely amazing lineup of people. We did bring Tommy to kind of have somebody in the room who knows a little bit about what it actually means or feels like to win one of these things. We're going to make that joke several times tonight, so don't wear out your booze. As ever, though, if anybody wants to get involved, feel free to tweet us at Off the Ball, or you can follow us on Facebook Live. Hello to our Facebook Live people. And we also have some amazing prizes.
And to be fair as well, Cyril Farrell is here, Ger. Cyril Farrell! Yeah! Like, he knows what it takes to win in All-Ireland.
He does. Pete Finnerty also knows what it takes to win in All-Ireland. Yeah. So now we're just making everybody who doesn't have one. Dahi Regan knows what it takes to win in All-Ireland. Yeah. He's getting booed as well.
Here.
Jesus. And those good people of Leinster took you in when you'd nowhere to go. And all you're doing is giving them grief for it.
After Munster kicked them out.
Yeah, I kind of hadn't realised that you'd played in the Munster Championship for a while, and it was a good experiment, but obviously it just fell by the wayside. We'll have to do a history piece on that some night, but tonight's not tonight, because we are going to look forward to the game. We're also obviously going to spend some time talking about the memory of Tony Keady. We've got some of his former teammates, and of course Cyril Farrell as well, because obviously such a legend, we have to do proper duty to the amazing career and man that he was tonight. I think it's something that kind of needs to be marked across the course of the whole week, and hopefully in the aftermath and on the day of the game as well, because, you know, there are very few people in Irish life who kind of really signify exactly what a sport means to a community and beyond to the rest of the sport. I think he was kind of one of those characters who everybody kind of goes, wow, that guy, he's like Cúchulainn, you know? And every generation kind of has one or two people like that, and he was definitely his generation of them.
Love that team, I have to say, that team of the 80s. That team of the 80s were something special, as we said. I'm from Westmeath, and like we share the maroon and white stuff, and that's sort of where it ends.
You can boo that, surely.
I'm really insulted now that you haven't booed Westmeath. That's sort of a sign of how shit we are. But yeah, my father's from Galway, and so in the 80s, I'm yes. My mother's from Mayo. Let's not mention that. But yeah, in the 80s, it was in 87. As a 10-year-old, I was like, whoa, you know, it must be like 50 years since Galway have won this thing. And I was looking at it the other week, it was like 7 years, the famine of 7 years.
Yeah.
But in Athlone in 87, where they sort of was a ceremonial crossing of the river, when, you know, the team disembarked in Leinster, in Westmeath, and sort of walked the Liam McCarthy over the bridge, like into Roscommon.
It's the Shannon.
Even
and
as
Connacht.
A 10-year-old, I was like, lads, this makes no sense.
The West's awake. You know, play along with it there.
But it was epic. I love that team, I have to say.
Yeah, a pedantic 10-year-old Adrian Barry. No one is surprised.
Nothing has
that.
Changed.
You listen to our show at all.
Right, Jared, just before you keep going, I went to college with a lad from Galway.
In Cork.
I'm trying here.
Right, we are here live with Borgosh Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. Follow all the action this weekend using the hashtag Hurling to the Core. And we do have an amazing prize of an overnight stay in Dublin and tickets to give away to somebody in the room. Yeah, somebody, we're going to make that draw a little bit later on. You might get Tommy to do it, so you better be a bit nicer to him if you want to win. Everybody who was booing, he's already marked you out in the crowd. and use his hurling brain to go, yeah, that's way there. Oh, no, not those tickets. It's going to be one of the people from over there who were nice. So anyway, time to get our first batch of guests out. They do know what it takes to win big matches. We've got Ollie Canning, Ken McGrath, and Dahi Regan. Have a seat there, Tommy. Ollie, how are you doing? Ken, how are you? Dahi, what's crack?
Dahi.
Yeah, so just to labour the point one last time, it's 10 All-Irelands between them. Dahi has one and Tommy has 9. Hey, you're lucky you got a mention for one.
This man has 5 county championships and this lad has 4 club All-Irelands.
Well, 6, Tommy.
6, yeah. Is it? 6 county championships and 4 club All-Irelands.
They're not bad.
Now, Dahi has 4 club All-Irelands as well.
I think
Tommy, you go over and sit there.
Yeah, go on, go on. Ollie, how's it going? So the Cannings obviously have an interest in the minor match and an interest in the senior match in terms of the players. So this is about as big a week as it gets, right?
Yeah, it's a great week, I suppose, to be involved with in the household with Jack in the minor and then Joe, obviously in the senior. And haven't been talking too much to the guys. They're just doing their own thing this week. It's we kind of leave the lads to their own devices. Spoke to Jack early in the week, all right, and. So, look, they're really looking forward to it. And I think everybody in Galway, I just feel maybe myself that the minors are involved and hopefully the seniors can take a small bit of attention off them. I know they're coming up against a very good Cork team. So hopefully they can just glide in there under the radar a small bit with the seniors involved as well.
When you're involved in an All-Ireland like this, what do you want? Do you want the county to go completely mental and have a good time? Or, like, is it better if they're all understated and don't come near you and are a bit like, oh, geez, I can't talk to them, don't make eye contact, whatever? What do you actually want?
You want the county to obviously, you know, get into it and enjoy the whole occasion because it is a big occasion. But from a player's point of view, it's gone so serious now with the management and they're very careful to limit the players' exposure, I suppose, to the media or to supporters. Personally, for me, I didn't really want to meet people during the week because everybody's got great intentions, but unfortunately, everybody will ask you the same 5 questions 20 times that day when you meet them through work. So that can be in itself a bit draining. So that kind of stuff, I think the players will really have their heads down this week. You kind of hand over the ticket situation to somebody in the family that you trust. And
that wasn't you, by the way.
No,
you're not the one.
And I still don't get that, actually. Another brother gets that job. They still don't trust me with the tickets. But from a player's point of view, you don't want to be getting phone calls. And I think people generally, they understand the situation the players are in. And anybody that rings a player about tickets coming up to an All-Ireland, you know, I wouldn't be answering that phone call ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But people do understand the position the players are in, and there usually is some contact within the family if somebody wants to get a ticket.
Tommy, did you get good at preparing for All-Ireland finals the final week of the game, or is that something that actually changes year on year depending?
Well, I think from the very start, the directive come from management was brilliant. Like, we were told straight away, no matter what happens, there's no excuses come Sunday. So, like, you talk about All-Ireland tickets, I often got calls on Saturday nights for tickets for the All-Ireland for the following day. Lads wouldn't realise, you know, but the way we handled it was, just went over your head. You acknowledged the phone call, listen, I'll try my best, and obviously the tickets are gone.
I'll try my best, put the phone down, throw it out the window.
And on you go. But the main thing was, no excuses come Sunday, Ger, because you always have the excuses, like, say, the grass is too long, or the lads were too giddy coming onto the bus, lads were too serious, they were too caught up. No matter what happens when you lose, you can make an excuse for that. So we were told, no matter what happens, you break your good hurl the week of a match, doesn't matter. Go down to Raimi Downs and get a new one. You don't get any sleep the week of the match, you're grand, you can sleep next week. You know, when that ball is thrown in, you just be ready, because no matter what you're going through, there's someone else going through it as well. And that's the way we were told to prepare. Now, the one lucky thing we had, Jared, was most of us won in All-Ireland in our first year or two on the panel. So straight away, we had the confidence forevermore that we could do it on the biggest stage of all. So that's why I think for Galway, if Galway with the All-Ireland this year has been much more difficult than anything we would have ever done, because they are dealing with the pressure, the expectation of not having won it since 1988, which is massive. Towards we went out from 21, 22 years of age, knowing we were after winning in All-Ireland, we knew we could produce it on the biggest stage of all, no doubts. Now, still, you had the same fears as everyone else. You know, you want to perform and all that. So I think we just learned to realise that all these pressures of tickets, all these pressures of phone calls, of well wishes, part and parcel of it. You'd rather that than being sitting at home on your couch watching someone else being in the All-Ireland.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Even in 2002, Gerry, I was a sub on the Kilkenny winning team, say 19 years of age. All your dreams come true, part of the big setup with DJ, Henry, John Power, imagine, like. And quickly you realised that after the final whistle was gone, the All-Ireland medal in your back pocket, delighted. Next minute you realise, I don't want to be here anymore, being a sub. So you take all the nerves, you take all the well wishes just to be part of it. So it didn't get any easier. We just realised what it was all about.
Yeah. Ken, one of the things that happened to Waterford in the year that obviously you came up against an almighty Kilkenny team, the nerves really got to that group of players. If there was anything in retrospect that you could do to change that, what would you do?
Probably everything, I'd say. I think we've... I'd every one of Tommy's excuses that week. I think it's... It is. I think it's going to be a long night for me and Ollie. How do you pay for all Ireland's? But no, look, I suppose the feeling I had maybe in 08 was that team was together for so long, say, right? And when we bet Tip in the semi-final, there was probably a show of emotion and a feeling that we finally done it, got over the semi-final, I think it was our sixth semi-final. And we forgot we were playing the best team of all time and 3 or 4 weeks later. And the county went a bit crazy down there and we enjoyed the couple of weeks, the 3 weeks. Now, I had a sports shop at the time and I was selling jerseys after jerseys and every single one was signing and questions and tickets. And come the weekend, I was probably drained without realising it, really. You know, looking back on, if I had things differently then, I would probably take the week off before the game and try and focus on what was ahead of us. But at that age, you think you're well able to deal with it. But you should have been able to deal with it better than we did.
Yeah.
And that's the one regret I'd have, that for experienced players, we didn't cope with it better. But when things go wrong in a final, they go drastically wrong. And it can happen in finals. It happens in every sport. But after 20 minutes, that game was over. And all you want to do then was get off the pitch, really, you know.
Yeah. But for you guys, it wasn't just you who had a bad game. It was everybody seemed to be affected by the nerves. Damien Tierney wrote a book where he said that Mary McAleese went back up and went, Jesus, that's a really nervous team. I've never seen anybody like it, like that. And she was sitting beside, I think, Nicky Brennan, who went, yeah, sweaty palms and vacant looks in all their eyes. And lo and behold, you know, it is over after 20 minutes.
Yeah, but look... If we won, to be saying, I never saw a team so focused, you know? So, look, that's what they'd say. And it's the same at warm-ups. I only saw a few weeks ago, Jesus, the Kerry warm-up is so basic. They lose the following week, the Kerry warm-up is basic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's the way it is. But I didn't feel any different on the pitch before that game as I did playing any big game leading up to that. And as I said to you, when things go wrong in the final, you're waiting your whole life for it, and then after a quarter of an hour it's over, it is hard to deal with it. And we didn't deal with it right. We probably should have said, right, the game was gone here, try and counteract it a small bit and get a bit of respect for ourselves. But we didn't, and it went totally wrong then, the second half especially.
And has the county gone as mad this time around, or is everybody a little bit scarred by that?
No, we haven't a chance on Sunday. So, no, it's good. It's good. The supporters are nowhere near as kind of bonkers as 10 years ago, but they're all excited and there's a great buzz down there. To me, the players seem very focused. I'd say having Dan, Murphy, Kevin and Brick, and they saw the pitfalls that we had 9 years ago.
Yeah.
They didn't go through them again for the last 3 weeks. They had no open sessions. There was no real fan nights, I don't think so. They seem to be very focused on Sunday. Now, it was a great buzz down there, but it's a bit more expectancy. They can't wait for the Galway game. And I'm sure it's the same up here. There's no baggage between Waterford and Galway. Thankfully, there's no Kilkenny, there's no Tipperary, no Cork in it. And it's a game every neutral wants to see. And that's why I think we are excited down below. And sure, it's the same up here.
Yeah. Dahi, you had a tough time before. Certainly won All-Ireland, you didn't sleep before one. Was there any specific reason that you just got into your head?
Not really. It was just a case of a kind of a culmination that, and Tommy and I spoke about this evening, like your dream and your goal, when you consider everyone that plays the game, I mean, every young fella that plays it has his ambition to play in Croke Park. It's no different in any sport. And like that, I was no different. I mean, I was ambitious to play with Offaly. I was lucky to play with a good club. And we were blessed that we came at a really good time, I guess, through colleges. And we were very successful. And we'd won minor All-Ireland. We'd won colleges all Ireland. We won Club All Ireland, played in an under 21 final and lost, played in a number of Leinster senior finals, National League. And the ultimate then was, of course, to get the opportunity to play in an All Ireland final. And if anything, I would have liked to have thought that, you know, that I would have played better for Offaly on bigger days than the likes of the National League kind of didn't really interest it. Me that much, it kind of interfered with a lot of social habits that we tended to have back then. National League was played in October, so to be fair about it, but what happened was, and it's so different nowadays, and it shows, like, I guess, where the likes of the GPA come into it, is that back then you trained when you trained, and you had your collective chats afterwards, and you had your final meeting on a Thursday night, and you regrouped on a Sunday morning. So all your thoughts were your own for the next couple of nights, and even preceding and leading up to it, your thoughts were pretty much your own. You travelled with your guys in the cars from your own clubs type of thing, and it was banal type of chat. You didn't get too in-depth into it. And I think what happens is, nowadays there's more of a recognition with players into the needs that they have, and there's more in touch with players' emotional needs within a group, because nowadays young players that are playing the game now, they train as professionals, they play as professionals, they're expected to act as professionals, and yet they go about their daily duties, whether it's college, university, work, or whatever. So it's a huge demand on their emotional time as well as everything else. So I think nowadays it's better from the perspective that there are brilliant young managers that's involved, and the backroom staff and all of that are so critical to what goes on within the group dynamic, that Derek McGrath, Micheál Donoghue will know the players within their group who are reticent enough and quiet, who may need a chat. Back then it was different, and I suppose the difficulty I found was that I tortured myself for years afterwards as to why it happened. Why on the biggest day of all, and the day that you've waited for all your life, why did it go the way it did, to the extent that the morning of the game, I genuinely had an absolute breakdown, a real breakdown. I was in the house of my own, and it was horrific. It really was, and it didn't get any better throughout the day. Mike Houlihan hit me after 3 seconds off the ball, and I didn't hit him back, and I never got into the game. something that you would have done back then, like you would have relished it. And I can remember leading up to the game, you know, Mike Houlihan was a great operator and someone I respected greatly, and it was a great challenge. So you personally challenged yourself to be a better man on the biggest day. And I remember doing sit-ups every night, and I had a photograph of Mike Houlihan. So when you'd be coming up, you'd be looking at his face, and you know, you'd be sore, and you'd be driving yourself on. So then on the big day, when you actually did meet the challenge, I shit myself, to be honest with you. You know, and I had a bad day, and I came down fairly hard myself, to be honest with you, because I felt I'd let myself down. So these things can get the players. They can get, it's an All-Ireland final day. You're talking about young guys. Of course it can get to certain individuals, but I just think there's a greater backup now and a greater structure.
Did you tell anybody? Did you mention it to anybody?
What happened was, my brother rang me from Dublin to wish me luck, and I sat in the hallway and I bawled my eyes out. And he said to me, you know, what are you doing? And I said, I'm not able for this. I played in every conceivable big game of hurling that could be played in prior to that. I played in every single one of them. And on this particular morning, for no reason whatsoever, I just completely lost it. And I got taken off with 20 minutes to go, and I couldn't wait to be taken off. And that was in an All-Ireland final. And that's a hard thing to live with as a player, to be honest with you. Now, we won. But for me, it was diminished.
But imagine if you hadn't won. Like, imagine the...
Oh, I'd have got all the blame, all the excuses would have come back on me. Like, he was shite, you know. But thankfully, we won.
Yeah.
But I always remember Joachim Kelly. And why I appreciate it coming from Joachim Kelly, and he's a guy, I suppose, through the club thing, I was never close to him. I respected him as a young fellow when Offaly made the breakthrough. But why I appreciated coming from Joachim Kelly was, in 2 All-Irelands in 81 and 85, Steve Mahon dominated him. But Offaly couldn't take Joachim Kelly off because we didn't have the numbers. We were in All-Irelands operating with 16 players. And Steve Mahon was a colossus, one of the great midfielders. And Joachim Kelly wasn't able for him, and that was the reality of it. And he came to me in the dressing room as a supporter after we'd won the All-Ireland, and he says, you're down, because he recognised it. And I said, no, not at all, because, you know, we like in Ireland to think we're a humble enough race, and in general, we are a humble enough race, and it's not about yourself on a day like that. You keep that shit to yourself, but you are disappointed. And Joachim Kelly said to me, the way it is, he said, and it always stuck with me, he said, I've had the nightmare, and thankfully on both days we won. He said, listen, in years to come, he said, the photograph is up in every pub, shop, restaurant around the place, and when people go in and they look at it, you know, and the longer it goes on, Monofaly or where we're at, of course, people tend to look back in retrospect, oh, they were great lads. No one's going to look at that picture and say, and that day he was shite. You know what I mean? They're not going to care. And actually, my daughter now would say to me, you know, and, oh God, I'm so proud, and how did you hurl? I said, I was vying for man of the match, to be honest with you. And I got an injury, I got an Achilles with 20 minutes to go.
Ollie, does anything make up for the pain of losing? Like, if you've played well, do you at least have some sense of, okay, you know, I did my bit? Like, it's kind of the opposite side where you win and you don't play well, or you win and you're not on the team and you don't enjoy it as much as everybody assumes you do outside. Is there an All-Ireland final where you play well and the team lose and you come off and at least go, I did my very best?
Does anything make up for it? No, not really. I think the ultimate goal for a team sport is that you win on the day. As Di said, like sometimes you don't perform as well as you expect, or as maybe you don't play to your potential. But as long as the team wins, that's the main goal for the day. So it's hard to get over. I played in two finals, 2001, 2005. Tip beat us in 2001. I thought we had a really good chance that year. I just thought there was more in us. I thought we didn't play to our potential against Cork in 2005. Cork were very good at the time. I just felt, looking back on it, of course you're confident coming into the game. You believe you can win this game. You look back and you say, well, they were a fine team, you know, and we just didn't have it on the day. So
the 0-1 hurts more.
Yeah, for me it does. I felt that the Tipperary team, they were a good team, but I don't think they were the best team that I've seen around that time. And I felt we had chances on the day that we didn't take, and unfortunately that comes back to haunt you in the end. I think we had chances to, especially at the start of that game, we had a period of dominance. And we could have been, you know, 2 or 3 points on the board. And then Tommy Dunn came down the sideline about 60 yards out and hit a master point to get them up and running. And, you know, that was just, dims the brakes, as they say, you know. So does it make up? No, it's very, very disappointing, Ger. And you put your life and soul into it. But I was always the type of person, you know, I could move on. And that's just my personality. Some guys are very down about it for maybe months after. You know, I'd be down about it for a week and we'd go have a few beers with the lads in Galway City, and that was the way we dealt with it. And everybody went back to their clubs. I always found going back, playing club hurling after that, you just had to get back into it, I think. If the year was over and there was no hurling, it would be a tough couple of months.
It did help that you were on one of the greatest club sides of all time. Like, the two of you were on one of the greatest club sides of all time. Did it help the fact that you were, okay, we are winning all Irelands around this time? Or
I think it probably did. I mean, you're at county level. I mean, it's very, very serious now. It wasn't like when I was playing, and I'm retired 7 years. It was getting to that stage where it was just becoming all-consuming. Every day you were doing something to better yourself as a player, whether that was ball work on the field, a ball alley session, you're in the pool, you were stretching. It was full time. It was every day. There was no down day coming to the end of my career, and that's the way it is now for these players. But to answer your question, going back to the club was always a relief for me, and I think once you get back into hurling, the club scene was serious at the time. We were training really, really hard, so it was a step down from the county scene for sure, but it just gave you a bit more time, I suppose, yourself.
Yeah, and I suppose there was the chance of success as well. Loads of texts coming in to 53106. Dominic says, lads, we're only minutes in and I'm already putting everything else on hold tonight. Legend lineup, legend stories, blood, sweat, tears, wildness and finesse. It's not a bad combination. Frank says, tell Dahi he's got a potty mouth. I'd tell him myself, but I'd probably shite my pants. Tommy Walsh came to the kids' summer camp in Ferrybank in Waterford this summer and spoke very well and couldn't have been nicer with his time. He signed every shirt, helmet and hurley. Great for a Kilkenny man to do the young hurlers. Great thing for the Kilkenny man to do for the young hurlers in Waterford, says James in Waterford. I see one Waterford jersey out there. Is there anybody else from Waterford who's two, three?
Hey.
Feeling a bit lonely. They're not getting booed too much.
They're on the holidays, Ger. They're on the holidays.
I don't like the odds, Ger.
No. Although the weather's obviously a good bit better in Waterford, right? I think we can all accept that, like, this is one of the first times I've ever been in Galway where it hasn't been lashing rain. Nice week of build-up. We're going to take a quick break. The lads are going to stay with us, and we'll talk a bit more about the game this week and also their memories from All-Ireland Finals past. So if you want to get any questions in, you can text us here on 53106. We are here live with Borgosh Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. You can follow all the action this weekend using the hashtag Hurling to the Core. Right back after these.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to AIR. Catch all the sports you love free on the AIR Sport Pack with AIR Broadband.
Hello, Galway! You're such a lovely audience. We've got an amazing prize for you all this week. With thanks to Borgosh Energy, we've been giving away great prizes ahead of the All-Ireland Hurling Final. Tonight is no different. One lucky person in this room is going to walk away with an overnight trip for two to the All-Ireland Hurling Final. The prize includes a pair of tickets to the Borgosh Energy GAA Legends Tour with Ollie Canning on Saturday, the 2nd of September, overnight hotel accommodation in Dublin. You'll also get to join us for an exclusive match preview in the Players' Lounge on the day of the game, and most importantly, two stand tickets to the All-Ireland Final. When you arrived, you all got a raffle ticket, most of you, anyway. I think everybody has a raffle ticket by now. We're going to be doing the draw a little bit later on in the show, so do keep those tickets handy, and best of luck. As I said, we're here with Borgosh Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. You can follow all the action this weekend using the hashtag HurlingToTheCore. Tommy, you guys didn't lose too many All-Irelands. Was there, in retrospect, ever anything consistent about the build-up or anything that happened, or was it just better teams on the 2 days that you did actually lose finals?
Well, the first one, we were going for the three in a row, 2004. We were after, it was the time of everyone was copying Clare's training methods, where you ran up hills for 2 hours and you did tackling drills for about 4 hours, and there were just cruel, cruel training times. But that was the thinking. You trained hard, you turned up then, and you played hard in the match. That was what, towards now, it's kind of diets and hydration, and it's more scientific, I suppose. So that's the way we trained that time. So we were 1-0, 2-0, 3. So going into the 0-4 final, our whole, I suppose, thinking was, we trained hard for the previous two All-Irelands, we won. Let's train even harder. But we could never get back up to those standards that we... Because, you know, we weren't fresh. We obviously weren't hungry.
Yeah.
It's like the old thing, like, you go to eat your dinner at 5 o'clock. If you have a bar of chocolate at 4:30, you're not going to eat it so fast at 5 o'clock. Well, it was the same thing. You're after winning two All-Irelands in a row. You're not going to be that hungry, you know, for the third one. And we were trying to push it and push it. So when it came to the final, the talk was that we were playing these huge, high-intensity matches in training. Cork were doing drills, very little games. So they came into the final then, and they just blew us off the field, hurling-wise, freshness-wise, everything. But it was just beaten. It probably didn't matter what way we trained. Cork were coming with a brilliant team at the time, and they're just better than us on the day. 2010 final then, same thing.
That must have been very hard for Tommy to admit there. Cork were brilliant, coming with a really good team.
Ah, they were. Listen, we had our differences. We both had different ways of thinking about hurling, but there's no getting away from the fact they're a brilliant, brilliant team and very strong-headed guys. But then going to the 2010 final then, like, the whole thing came out after it was... There was 10,000 at our training the week before. That's why we lost. But sure, we love that. We love training in front of the big crowds. Like, the bigger, we were used to it. Like, our standards didn't fall off. We were ready for that final, except for Lara Corbett and all the boys turned up on the day, and there's a tip man throw him out there. Out How did he sneak in?
Finally, everybody's unified.
So that's what happened. 2010 final, they showed up. Again, they had a brilliant team, but brilliant goal finishers. 0-9 final, like, it's amazing that Mary McAleese was talking about the nerves for the Waterford guys for the 0-8 final. I was sitting beside PJ Ryan in the Crown Plaza for the 0-9 final, and the two of us were there looking at each other. Everyone else was going out for a few pucks, and I wasn't able to drink me soup. He wasn't able to eat a sandwich, and we were just saying, how are we going to play a final now in two hours' time? He went out and gave the greatest performance a goalkeeper ever gave. So I don't buy into that whole thing either of nerves.
Nerves are good.
Nerves are brilliant, and... Listen, we all went through it. Like, that means you're up for it. That means you love the game. That means you're really want to win. So you just need to go on and deal with it. Like, I'm sure Kenny won 6 county finals. He won 1 or 2 Munsters. I'm sure he was fierce nerves for them finals too, performed. So what I'm saying is, I suppose, for the 2010 final, we just turned up. No excuses. They were the better team on the day, and they're just better. So... You can't win them all, like, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I will say, it was a funny story. Like, just I was booed coming in by the Galway lads, but what I will say is, my first match for Kilkenny was under 14 in a Tony Forrestal game, and I was marking no other than the legend, Johnny Marr. And
how big was it then?
He said to me, father, we're still looking at the YouTube clips of him hitting all those lads in that county final a few years ago. I don't know, was it from Gert or was it poor Tom? I think it was Gert, was it?
Thomas's,
was it? It was the funniest. Yeah. Boy, Mark Johnny Marr scored 2 points off me. I remember we were looking at the Galway lads. They had lovely gear. They were kind of beating everyone all around them. That was a Tony Forrest. We went on and played Galway in the Nina Co-op, which is the under-16 All-Ireland. Ger Farragher was midfield, brilliant player again, scored 16 points. I think he scored most of them from play, from midfield. Knocked us out with that. But this is where the funny bit comes then. So we end up playing Laois in a Shield match. And you'd be talking about motivations. Our motivation, if you won the Shield, you got a new pair of boots. Everyone got a new pair of boots. So our manager, John McCormick, was on to us. Lads, we have to win this. We have to get those boots. So we were playing Laois in the semi-final. I'm not sure where it was. And we were beaten by 2 points. We're about, I think it could have been a minute to go or the last puck of the game. They got a free out in the 21 at the sideline. And one of the Laois lads went to take it. And I started shouting at him. I was on the goal. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You know, just before sledging or any of that. And that was our sledging back then. So the referee thought it was David Hershey. David Hershey was on goal. And the referee thought it was him. So he brought David Hershey out from the goal, start booking him. There was no yellow cards or red cards back then. He so started booking him. So everyone on the sideline was giving out about David Hershey. What did the referee do? He brought the free from the sideline straight in front of the goal. Crazy stuff. What did the Laois lad do then? Put the ball down, buried it in the top corner. Laois bet as we were going home without no boots. And David Hershey didn't talk to me for 3 years. So that was my good stories. It wasn't always good news when we played Galway.
Is that Tommy Welch or Tommy Tiernan?
I don't know if we can follow that. 5316, the text number here. If you want to get in touch, you can tweet us at Off the Ball. Yeah.
Off Tommy, when you're recounting all the All-Irelands, I'd be always amazed to listen to you here. Do you ever make the mistake of going, and in 03, and did we win that one in 03? Four, we were going for 4 in a row in 07, and we played Leitrim. I don't know which one we won.
Got
a pair of football boots in 09 after winning the All-Ireland. Yeah, well, but do you ever make the mistake when you're recounting them all, and you might say in 09 we won that one, or, you know?
Well, it's not I, because I know how hard they are to win. And what I would say is, like, lads would say, geez, these for the Kilkenny lads are up there with their 8-9 All-Irelands, Henry with 10, like, you can get carried away with yourself, you know. But we all have clubs, and, like, Ken has 5-6 county finals. You have 4 club All-Irelands, Ollie Canning.
Don't make me feel any better, Tommy.
No, but what I'm saying is, I'd love to have one of them. I'm wondering, how did Mount Sion win 6? You know, did Ballygunner and all them, De La Salle, and, like, they had to beat great teams to win them, won a few Munster clubs. Like, I know how hard it is to win a championship. So that's why I can appreciate, like, what it was like to win. I know how lucky I am to win one All-Ireland, you know. And a lad said to me one time, if you're not happy enough without the medal, you won't be happy with the medal. And it's true. And, like, if I never win a championship with Tullerone, if I never win a championship with Tullerone, I'll still be delighted. See Sean Kavanagh there. During the week, someone asked him, any regrets? No, I'm delighted because I gave it everything. And I'm the same. And Ken, you look at the Waterford lads. Like, they won the minor All-Ireland in 2013 for the first time since the 40s. They won the under-21 in 2016, first time since 1992. I don't think them lads would have won them All-Irelands without these lads. So, like, what they did for hurling, and especially hurling in Waterford, was unbelievable. I know they didn't win the All-Ireland. There's another saying, I'm coming out with all these sayings today, but you give a lad a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a lad a fish, you feed him for life. Well, Ken McGrath, you know, that's what they did for Waterford. So.
Joe. Tommy, if Tommy wants a club All-Ireland, I'll give him one, but he'll have to give me 3 All-Irelands.
It's a fair trade.
I'll give you 8 of them.
Okay, the texts are starting to come in. Dahi need of no worries. The Offaly team he played on were brilliant. I remember Dahi and Andy Comerford landing haymakers on each other in the middle of Croker. He put McGregor and Mayweather in the halfpenny place. Great show, says Sean Maher in Wexford. There's a lot of you fighting and splitting people.
I watched a thing today on YouTube. I know it was Christy Hellebert here. I played against Christy back the years, but there was an interview. Some fella rings him. and talking about a match that he refereed, maybe touched it. But it was one of the most hilarious things I've ever heard. Is it a setup on Christie, some fella that's going to back him at a county board meeting, and give us your take on what happened in the game? And I think Johnny Matter's name actually came into it. Did he hit him with the hurl? And Christie Hellebert went, no, he didn't actually. No, the two of them were flaking away, but not in contact whatsoever. And he says to him, you know, and he could say, when you know when you're listening to it, it was a setup. It was hilarious to listen to it. Listen to it if you haven't heard it. And he says, he went into it, and he says, Christy, we're too soft in Galway now. Fucking are too soft. What's fucking wrong in Galway? We're not flaking hard enough, like, you know. But it's hilarious to listen to it, how you can get caught out. But it was different back then. I said to Tommy today, I can remember years ago in Burn a Saturday night, going down to town thinking I was a great lad, all out for a good night because I'd played a great game. I hadn't hit the ball once, but I broke four hurls. And in town, a great lad, you know. How did Regan go today, centre forward? Fuck me, he broke four hurls. He hurled fucking great, like. And you'd actually be believing this yourself. And you think back in the game afterwards and you go, I never fucking hit the ball once. But you were walking down the town like this, like, it's all changed now. It's all changed, but.
It's all changed.
It's great to look back as well.
Yeah,
you know?
It really is.
There it is.
Yeah.
Tommy was the only one that did it in the noughties.
Okay. we missed that one. I don't know if it was safe or not. Right, this one here. Ask Ollie, did the bullet from Bell Mullet keep him scoreless in a Galway RTC training match in 1995?
Probably did. It probably did, yeah. That's a long time ago. When was it, 95?
Yeah. Is there a story behind this, or is it just a good name, the bullet from Bell Mullet?
I'll have to come back to you on that, chair.
Some fella just delighted that you've read it out. He's, yeah. Drinking, he's drinking pints with his mates now. Go, oh, I'm on the radio.
My memory isn't the best. I'd have to check that item.
You don't have the same photographic memory that Tommy has for games and dates. And
No.
You know boats.
Mike and Claire wants to know, ask Dahi, is it true Offaly only started to beat Limerick as soon as he came off?
It is actually.
Beat them on the scoreboard, Jared.
If my daughter's listening, I went off at an Achilles after giving an exhibition for 15 minutes. That's what happened. And yes, we did go ahead after I went off, but I contributed to the comeback.
Yeah. You tired them out for the first 10
totally,
rounds.
Yeah, turned it around completely. Yeah,
yeah, and then it was Floyd Mayweather in the last couple of minutes of that one. Is that true, Ken, though? The whole point about, you know, if you're not happy without the medal, you wouldn't be happy with it. Like, it seems like that Waterford group, there was an itch that they didn't get to scratch. But actually, like this Mayo team now, people have unbelievable respect for your group and your team. Like, there's a genuine love for that group of players that you must feel now makes up in some way for the fact that you didn't actually win in All-Ireland.
Yeah, look, I suppose, look, that team was Tommy and Ollie were in that era. They were a great bunch of lads, and look, we played some great games, and we played a different way, I suppose, and I suppose that's why probably lads from other counties look probably like that team, the way we kind of, there's a few header balls on the team, they're liable to do anything at times, and I suppose that's the way we played off the cuff hurling. Now, it suited us at that time, you know, and I suppose that's what maybe held us back from winning all earnings as well, because we were capable of mixing the good with the bad, you know, but like, from where when I started out, say, 96, I actually marked Garrod McInerney's father, Jerry, was my first game. Yeah, in the league, you know. We were a million miles away from competing with the big lads in top-tier hurling. So from where we came from to what we've done for maybe 8, 9, 10 years, we were happy enough. But look, it's still ultimately we fell short of winning the big one. We had enough chances to win it.
Does it matter, though, now, ultimately? Like, you know, you're part of this wider hurling community. You come to events, people talk to you, everybody recognises who you are and what you stand for. Like, it feels to me like your life is fulfilled without this medal anyway.
I don't know. Listen to Tommy, I think I need a big hug up here or something. I don't know what's going on. I'm not phony. I've no All-Ireland medals. I never won a pair of boots. I'm going home straight out the door. But look, I don't dwell on the past. We gave it a shot. I said we played a massive games. We played some of the best hurling in that period for 5 or 6 years. Back then, Munster Championship games were sellouts. We won Munster Championships. We had enough chances to win it. We just didn't take it. So I don't dwell on it.
And, yeah.
I know myself, I gave everything I could to try and win one, you know, so when you, all you can do is your best at times.
Yeah, the great quarter final, was it against Kilkenny? Did one of those games go to a replay?
Cork.
Was it a semi against Kilkenny Waterford? I remember Sheffin goes pretty well, scores 2-6, 2-7, but ends up.
Well, that was 0-4. The lads, I think it was 3-12 to 18 points. Kilkenny won, thanks.
Just by points.
But no, we played 8 semi-finals and 1-1, so that's not a great record, you know, but look, we came up against the best team of all time, Kilkenny, a brilliant Cork team for 3 or 4 or 5 years as well, you know. We'd done a lot of hurling that time, but look, we fell short, but I don't dwell on it.
Except when...
Oh, someone get me a tissue.
Except when people ask me about it.
A tissue or a vodka Red Bull, wouldn't you know
that? I'd say we can probably sort that with both. Right, we're going to give the lads a quick break. 53106 is the text number here if you want to, just to let them recharge their batteries for a bit. We're going to preview the match properly with all four of them. It's been a pretty good start to the show, right? Who's going to win this final on Sunday? They're getting more and more cocky as the evening goes on. All right, as I said, 53106 is the text number. The lads are going to go and have a quick break. We're here live with Borgosh Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. You can follow all the action this weekend using the hashtag Hurling to the Core. We're talking about that team from 88 and that amazing era and, of course, the late, great Tony Keady right after these.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.